Amen. So today, let's stand and give a rousing welcome to our dear brother, Stephen Schiller, evangelist, biker, mechanic, and so many other things. Steve has a book display at the back of the conference. Yeah, and so I'm just going to give it up for you, brother Stephen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate you and love you, mate. Good on you.
G'day, mate. I like it. How you doing? Are you going to stay standing all day, are you? You can sit down if you want, eh? I'll try not to go on too long. You can stay standing if you like. I'm Steve. I just love coming to church. I love being here. This is an awesome place. I brought along a book with me today. It's called The Raw Edge of the Christian Experience. I've got some at the back, and someone's told me they've already sold, three or four before the service. I've got 20 of them with me today. But look, if you want one and you don't have any money with you, who's that? Is there someone who wants one and doesn't have any money with them? That's you. This is yours then. How's that? There we go. You can have one. And I just want to say that they're also going to be sold at the Black Tie fundraiser with 100% of the price going to New Hope Care that night as well. So we've got 20 to go there. But I want to just share with you a little bit about walking with Jesus the easy way. Because there's a hard way and there's an easy way. And the easy way is find out what God's up to and join in. The hard way is doing your thing and inviting him along. That's a rat's nest, you know. And I've done both. And I will tell you that one of them works better than the other. And trying to be a good Christian is hard work. Anyone here tried to be a good Christian? You're trying to pay off your billion-dollar moral debt with 2 cents worth of hard trying, and you can't do it. You are 100% reliant on the blood of Jesus and 100% reliant on his spirit to be able to do anything. Are you hearing me? And when you try and follow God from your own efforts and strengths, you're a mess. I've done that, and it hadn't worked out very well. But I want to share with you a little bit. I'm very excited about two things. One of them is today is the day of Pentecost. And the other one is God is stirring stuff in the house here about healing and miracles. And do you know that you cannot do healing and you cannot do miracles, only he can. Amen. We had a tent meeting. I've got a tent called the Jesus Tent. We had a tent meeting in Toowoomba some years ago. We put it up in 34 degree heat, 20 of us set it up on a day, 440 square metres of tent. And then the next day, they put in a sound system and I jumped on my motorcycle and went back to Killarney to bury my friend's wife. My friend's wife was 35 years and 35 days old. My friend was a Pentecostal preacher. And we prayed for that lady and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and she died. And we buried her. And I come back to Toowoomba that night to do a meeting in the tent. And I was so wrecked. I was just absolutely gutted and ruined and exhausted. And I climbed up in the back of the truck to put a pair of jeans on. And I could barely get up in the back of the truck. And I just didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to go forwards. So that night I got in the tent and I said to everyone, I'm exhausted. I can't function. I said, I've just buried my friend's wife. We prayed for her to be healed and she died. We prayed for months for her to be healed and she died. So I said, I'm just going to remind Jesus that this is his tent and not mine. That's what I did. And the Lord started moving with power and miracles in the tent that night. There was crazy things happening. There was a heart condition healed. There's one guy had a shoulder that was continually dislocating. The next day he was concreting. Another lady that had restless legs and couldn't sleep for more than a couple of hours at night slept 8 hours right through the night. There's so many miracles, but only God can do that. And sometimes it takes us to get out of the way or to engage him or to allow him to do those things. But I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is Pentecost Sunday. So, you know, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, right? And the night, I had a night, an encounter on a side of a road about an hour out of Adelaide towards Victor Harbour, many years ago, I was an atheist. I was on the side of a road with three other people that were running amok. We were just into the drugs. We was into everything. We was ruining our lives. But I was tormented by some words that somebody had said to me. And they said, if you find Jesus Christ, you'll know God. And I was tormented for about 4 months by those words. And I'm trying to get them out of my head. It's repeating like a bad curry. I don't even believe in God. I'm an atheist, you know, and I'm tormented by it. And I walked away from the mess in the car and the people a couple hundred meters up the road, and I prayed. I don't even know why an atheist would pray. It's the dumbest thing for an atheist to do. If you don't believe in God, why pray? I was raised in the church. As a kid, I believed in the Trinity. You know, we had Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and God. You know, we had the Trinity. But I didn't believe in God once I got rid of Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, because nothing made sense. It was just a big rat's nest, you know. And so here I am, and I prayed. And I don't even know why I prayed, other than the Holy Spirit. And deep calls out to deep. It didn't come from my brain. It didn't come from my intellect. That was so stupid. My intellect was so ruined. It didn't come from my emotions. They were so constipated that I hadn't shed a tear in years. It came from somewhere deeper, a part of me and a part of you that lives well below. Deep calls out to deep is what the scripture says. And when that happened, it was like a burst of water come up out of me. I felt like the sky opened. I felt love just come pouring on me. I knew that God was real. I felt his love. I felt forgiveness. I'd never known anything so powerful ever. It was an incredible experience. But I didn't know the Bible. I opened it and tried to read it. I found it said something about putting blood on the side of the altar. Must have been in Leviticus or Deuteronomy. So I shut it again real quick. I thought, this doesn't make any sense to me. I tried going to church. I sat on the doorstep. The preacher, I sat on the doorstep. I didn't want to go in the church. I was too scared to go in the church. I sat there and rolled a smoke, wearing all my black clothes, my ripple sole shoes that we all used to wear in South Australia. And the preacher would always say the stuff that was going on in my life that week. It's like God was reading my mail. I'd turn the radio on, a secular song would contain the lyrics that would answer the questions that I was bouncing off of God in prayer. Suddenly I knew God. I drove away from that night on the side of the road. I threw drugs and alcohol and pornography out the window of the car. I got a packet of cigarettes. I put them in my top pocket. Said, you're not getting them. But you see, I want to tell you what happened. I had no understanding of the unconditional love of God. I had no reference that I could work from the Bible. And as things didn't work out well on a day-to-day basis, and who gets that happening? I thought God abandoned me. I didn't think he wanted me. The devil, I didn't even know there was a devil. So I didn't know the devil was lying to me. And it didn't take long until I was in such a wreck that I'm in a workshop in Echunga in the Adelaide Hills. About 6 months later, after experiencing God, and I put a chain around my neck, and I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to take my life. I've got 1 foot each side of this workshop pit. And I'm just like, God, if you don't want me. I don't want to live. I'm just so ruined. And I'm about to drop in this pit. And that day was the very first day I ever heard the voice of God. And he said, you can't do this because you know me. And I grabbed the chain off my neck and I dropped in the bottom of the pit and I bawled my eyes out for the next 2 hours, confused, accusing God of not letting me die, even though he didn't want me. I believed God didn't want me. I want to tell you, that's a lie. God wants you. God wants you. But a week later, a young guy came in and he wanted a radiator fixed in that workshop. And he's talking to me about Jesus. And I thought, wow, this guy believes in Jesus. And he said, and I shared with him a little bit about what had happened on the side of that road. And And he said, it'd be good if you come to church. It was a little uniting church in the town. And I thought, it would be good if I didn't. But I so needed God. So I prayed and I said, Lord, even though you don't want me, I want you, and I'm going to go to church. Still believing a lie. So I went to church. I snuck in after they started, bolted out before they finished. I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I couldn't put a sentence together without the F-bomb going off. One day someone blocked the doorway and a miracle happened. I got through a sentence without busting my tongue. Hey, it was crazy. And then they invited me along to a Bible study group. So I go to a Bible study group, and they had Bibles, you know. This, by the way, is a new Bible. It's a brand new one, you know, because clean Bible, dirty life, dirty Bible, clean life, and I just wanted to say it's brand new. But I couldn't. They knew the verse, the reference, the book, and I felt like I could never be a proper Christian because I had dyslexia. So that book I just gave you is a miracle that it even exists. I had dyslexia. And I could read a sentence, I get the full stop, I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't unpack what was happening. Who's had that sort of experience going on? It's not that uncommon. And I struggled at school. I was in trouble all the time. I was an outstanding student, outstanding outside the principal's office. Battling with everything and trouble all the time. But I just felt like I could. But they gave me a Bible. They gave me the Living Bible. It's a paraphrase. And it's easy to read, and I still couldn't work it out. And then one night, I'm pumping petrol into a car at this petrol station that my sister had, and a guy pulls up in an old Holden station wagon. It's probably a lot newer then because this is years ago, right? And on the side is a sticker with a reference to 1 Corinthians, and I knew that was a scripture in the Bible, and it talked about speaking in tongues. And I asked this man about it, and he said to me, unless you speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. And I thought, well, that can't be right, because by then I'd really started to latch into God, and I knew, you know, and later I was to find out that they're part of a cult, you know. And so I asked someone in the church about this speaking in tongues thing, and they said, well, if that disappeared with the apostles. They said that doesn't happen today. If it happens today, it's from a demon. Yeah, that's what they told me, and so I didn't know any better, and then one night, a mate of mine says, hey, let's go out down to a youth meeting. So we went down to a big church. I'd never seen such a big church, Paradise AOG, Assemblies of God in Adelaide, and we go into this youth meeting, and it's full of young people. They're just everywhere, and I'm at the back. I'm battling with depression. I had this black dog that used to haunt me. And so I'm on the back seat, right back there, closest to the door, one eye on the escape route. I've got a cigarette rolled because I'm thinking, if I can light this thing, they won't drag me back in the building. You know, I'm ready. I'm all planned to protect myself, right? And they start preaching that there's a devil and spiritual warfare. See, you need spiritual warfare when you're a young fella, not just when you're married.
That's it, mate.
And the enemy is not the mother-in-law.
Amen.
Amen. The enemy is the devil. I didn't even know there was a devil. I'd been warned about mother-in-laws. I wasn't even married. But I didn't even know there was a devil. And so I've got one eye on the escape route, and I'm listening to this fiery message that somehow is stirring something inside of me, and I'm starting to realize there's trouble in my life, and it's not all as straightforward as it looks on the surface, right? And so they did this really strange thing. I'm hanging on every word like my life depended on it, but I still got one eye on the escape route. And then they did this strange thing. They did an altar call. I'd never seen one before. and for people to come to the front. And my legs got up and walked to the front without me telling them to. It frightened the hell out of me. Probably frightened the hell out of the devil as well. You know, and my legs are my brain is arguing. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be the only one there. You idiot, Steve, what are you doing? And I'm going to the front of this building. And before I got there, all these other people got in because I was right at the back. And there's a lot of people up on this platform. They're standing there and reaching over and praying for people. I'm like three bodies back. And this bloke reaches over. He puts his hand on my head. And he said, "Are you saved?" And I said with a rattling assurance, "Yes, I am." Because the devil got a kick in the guts with that message. And I knew I was saved. I didn't have a wavering thing going on in me that day. And then he said, "Are you filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues?" And I thought, oh crap, I'm in the nut house. Oh, they didn't, where am I? What's going on here? And so I said, no. I said, yes to salvation. I said, no, I'm not, there's tongues, no. And then he says, the worst question, the hardest question, the most awkward question, he said, "Do you want to?" And so I'm going to say no, because I'm going to say no. But just like being an atheist that prayed, something deeper inside of me launched into a response. My brain didn't even have a chance to shut me down. I opened my mouth and I said yes, and this language followed it and kept pouring through me. I just stood there and shook and I didn't know what was happening and I couldn't stop it. I thought I could stop it. I don't know. Maybe I couldn't. Maybe I could have. They were flicking the lights on and off to try and get me out of the building, you know. And I'm still there and I didn't know what to do. But something just empowered and changed and took over. It was the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, I didn't even expect it. On the day of Pentecost, I don't even think they expected it. Jesus never told them about speaking in tongues. It just came with tongues of fire. You think, okay, well, what's the benefit of the juice behind that? Well, I don't know. I didn't know. All I know is it felt fantastic. And we got back to the Adelaide Hills and I went back into the house, this house where I was tormented by the enemy and by depression. The depression would hit me. I would isolate myself from people. I'd go through a packet of cigarettes in no time. I would pull back from everyone. Well, that night I went to the fireplace. There's a big timber board above the fireplace. And my Bible was sitting on there and I just launched it open. And it lands in the Psalms. And it says, "I am your rock and your salvation." And that was the night that I knew I'd never kill myself and take my own life with suicide. I knew that Jesus was my Savior. I knew, and I didn't know what else, but I could read the Bible. I could read the Bible. So I started reading the Bible. You see, they gave me a Bible. They said, "This book is true." Do you know the Bible's true? Well, I had a dodgy one once. It said genuine leather on the cover, and I don't think it was, but every other word is true. Every word of the Bible is true. That's why man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's true. And so they told me this is true. And they said, "You take this, you read it, this is true." So I start reading it. And I'm reading things like, they told me to start at the Gospel of John, you know. And in the meantime, one of my buddy mates got saved. His name was Alan. He was a bit of a rat bag. And two of us used to wreck the town and smoke a bit of pot and blow it on the budgie and make him swing upside down on the perch and do a few stupid things. And he gives his life to Jesus. Alan. So I give him a Bible and I say, "Read this Bible, man. This stuff is true." Because I didn't know any better. I thought it was right to tell him that. And I told him, start at the Gospel of John. So he goes, he gets into it, you know. I'm getting into it. I start to see things jumping off the page at me. I mean, scriptures are launching into my spirit. Are you hearing me? Because the Word of God is not just for the intellect. And I don't write off the intellect. I don't speak out against intellectuals. But don't you stop there. This is spirit food. This is food that will launch into your heart and transform you. And I'm reading things like, you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Ask anything in my name, believing, and I will do it. He sent them out to cast out devils and heal the sick. And I'm looking at that and thinking, you know, and it's basically saying for us to do it. And I'm looking at that thinking, that can't be right. Because if that was true, everyone in the church would be doing this stuff, right? I'd never seen anyone healed or anyone pray for the... Well, they did pray for the sick if they were just about dying. They'd pray that they sort of died quietly. You know, like didn't suffer for a long time. So I'm reading this stuff thinking, this is, I'm arguing to myself. You know, I don't exactly have schizophrenia, but sometimes I argue. You know, like I order 2 coffees in the morning because I'm self-employed and I need to have a staff meeting. Right. And so I'm thinking, this, they told me the Bible's true. But it can't be true, otherwise I'd all be doing this stuff. But it's got to be true because they told me it's true. And I am in a switched over state, going crazy for about 3 days. And then the same voice that I couldn't hear audibly that said, you can't do this because you know me, when I was about to commit suicide, spoke again. And this time he said, if you don't believe everything I say, you've got no right to believe anything I say. Where do you run from there? I thought, uh-oh, I hope he doesn't want me to pray for sick people. What if I'm stupid enough to do that and nothing happens? What if I cause them to dislodge their trust in Jesus? What if, I mean, the what ifs were loud. Are you hearing me? Loud what ifs. So I went and visited my buddy Alan. Alan was so in love with Jesus. And we were kind of not really churched, but we was a bit religious, you see. Because we thought you had to pray with the eyes shut. We didn't. What are you laughing at? So do you pray with the eyes open or shut? Yeah, you're a Didi driver. That's why. Didi driver, Uber, got to pray with your eyes open. So Alan, he loves his skateboard. He goes down this big hill in Achunga, and he's so passionate for Jesus, he decides to pray. And I tell you, it didn't end well. I mean, this guy is across the road, smashed up, beaten. I get to his house, he's bleeding, he's all swollen. He tells me what happened. And I know I shouldn't have laughed, but I had to laugh. It was so funny, hey? And I said, how are you going with the Bible? He said, this is fantastic. He said, isn't it cool how Jesus heals all these people? And I said, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And he says, does he still do that today? Like I'm some sort of expert. I'm not an expert. I don't know nothing. He says, does he still do that today? I thought, oh. You know, let me get you up to speed. Something I didn't know that day, but I know now. And that is when you're being marinated, you're about to be thrown into the frying pan. Okay? But when God marinates you, it's a fantastic taste. All right? I didn't know what was coming. I thought, I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. I wasn't going to answer. So he kept staring at me until I got awkward enough to do something. And so what I did was I showed him a whole lot more scriptures that I'd found on the same stuff. I thought, that'll get him off my back. We'll just blame the Bible, you know. And then he has the audacity to say, well, pray. And at that point, I knew I was really in trouble. Because if nothing happened, Alan was likely to snot me one. I was going to get a black eye, a blood nose, or both. So I prayed. I was a bit religious. I had one eye shut, but the other one was open. Because I had to get my head out the way if it all went wrong. You know. I didn't know what was going to happen. And so there we are, we pray for him. And the pain went out of one arm instantly. And when it did, something inside of me exploded like a volcano, launching that this is true. This Bible is true. It's 100% true. You see, the Holy Ghost quickens God's word. The sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Ghost. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. With the Holy Ghost, look out, this stuff will demolish strongholds. It will destroy the work of the enemy. It'll bring about the miraculous hand of God. Well, he's got one arm pain-free. He said, well, we better pray for the other one, you know. Now, we're not so religious. We've both got it, both our eyes open while we're watching his arm because it's swollen. It's got a big lump on his wrist. We prayed for him and that lump went down. And the pain went up his arm and shot out of his elbow. We were two scruffy young, I don't know what word to use in church to describe us. God help me. But I'll tell you, the people in that church said, don't let those young people near our kids. At least it got them all praying for us, eh? We had prayer covering like you wouldn't believe. So we go along to this youth meeting, sort of a senior youth meeting. There's a girl there called Karen, and Karen's got bulimia anorexia. So she's a mess. Her health is messed up. And I just felt like we got to tell her what Jesus can do. We didn't know anything. We didn't even know there was a pecking order in church. We hadn't been introduced to structure and, you know, we sort of missed all the memos of who's allowed to pray and who's not allowed to pray. We hadn't been to Bible school. We didn't even know there was a Bible school. And so Karen, we tell Karen about what Jesus had just done for Alan and said, can we pray for you? And she said, yeah, why not? She hadn't been saved long. And, well, I was a bit nervy. I didn't want to pray in front of everyone. So we snuck off to this little tiny room. It wasn't the toilet. There was no toilet in there. But it was sort of about that size. And we got in there and we're praying for her. And nothing is happening at all. And I'm starting to, I'm realizing that I'm just not engaging God. I'm not engaging him. I'm trying to, but I'm not doing it. And then the word of God got quickened in my heart through the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? And suddenly I'm thinking on this scripture. Ask anything in my name, believing, and I'll do it. And as I'm thinking of it, I thought, what's your problem, Steve? Believe, because he's going to do it. And if he's going to do it, why not believe? And he's going to do it because you're believing. And it was like, there was no way out of this. And I just believed. I just believed. And as I believed, Karen, we'd been there for 5 minutes. And Karen looks up and she said, I'm healed. She just looks up. And how did she know? I don't know how she knew. There was no swelling went down. She had anorexia. Look, I beat anorexia, right? Look at me. But she was so skinny, if she had got pregnant, she would have looked like a snake that swallowed a rat, you know. And she was healed. I panicked, actually. I thought, what have I done? Have I messed with her head? You know, I mean, right question, isn't it? I didn't know. And, you know, she went home. She told her parents that Jesus had just healed her of anorexia. Well, that wasn't good because they were both atheists and they were really suspicious of a newfound faith. I mean, can you see this all going wrong? Yeah, well, it all went wrong until she started banging the weight on and got her period. She hadn't had a period in years and God had healed her, I tell you. You're thinking it's all gone wrong and Jesus had healed her, you know. And then there's this girl called Tabitha. I had a bit of a I had the hot sweats for her. She's actually my ex-girlfriend. Because once you marry him and she becomes your wife, she's no longer your girlfriend, right? She's not here today, but she's put up with me for 34 years this December, this November. And so we're at this other night out on a farm and a lot of young people hanging around. She jumps off the back of the ute and her knee gave way. And she twisted it up. All I want to do is pray for her. But I didn't want to. I mean, they're all saying, get those young people away from our kids. I didn't want to let anyone see me pray for her. I didn't know what to do. I was so broken and so messed up. But I'd found the Holy Ghost. And I'd found believing. So we got her into the car. Someone lent us some crutches. They put a bag of ice on her knee. I drove away thinking, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? Took her back to her house. In the meantime, both her parents had come to know Jesus. Both her parents. A lot had happened in a month. And an old farming buddy of theirs had led them to Jesus. He had become a Baptist preacher. And we go into the house, they're having a good old Baptist Bible study, and someone says the right thing, let's pray for Tabitha's knee. And I thought, you beauty! So we got around and I started believing. We opened our eyes and that bag of ice had turned to a bag of water with condensation all over it. And her swollen knee was the correct size again. She jumped to her feet, she started jumping around the house like a grasshopper that had landed in a turkey pen. This heat had just poured off of her knee. We could all feel the heat. Like, I don't know what that heat's about. Sometimes you pray for people and you think that their body's hot and they think that your hand's hot. It's the Holy Ghost. I was at a meeting in Clifton. I prayed for a guy's leg. He had his knee was all bent like that. His foot was out to the side. He's on those two walking sticks with the bits that clamp on there, and his name was Laurie Whitmore. He wanted me to pray for his knee. So I prayed for his knee. I said, what's happening, bro? He said, oh, it's gone all hot. I said, oh, that's a formality, mate. And I went off and prayed for other people. And next thing, Pete's the pastor there. He says, come and look at this, man. Sorry, bro. Come and look at this. And I said, shut up, mate. I'm busy. I was praying for people. You look at it, you know. And his leg swung around, straightened up, and his foot was pointing in the right place. You know what was wrong with him? They did a knee operation and the doctors fitted it crooked and they couldn't redo it. So his knee was permanently in the wrong place with a new prosthetic knee. I'll tell you something. There is a carpenter that knows more about wheel alignments than a mechanic. Hey? Well, Laurie was in that much pain a few days later. You'd think if God did something, there'd be no pain, it'd all be perfect, wouldn't you? Well, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need Jesus on the cross either, would we? But Laurie was in that much pain a few days later that he goes to the doctor. He's in agony with his leg. And the doctor said, you're using muscles that you haven't been able to use for 4 years. How did this happen? How come your leg's straight? You know, I want to tell you, I've had real challenges with healing and believing, but I choose to believe. I choose to believe. And I prayed for a lot of people. I prayed for hundreds of people with cancer. Most of them have died. Yeah, you think it's funny till it's you, brother. But I've seen 12 people completely healed. One bloke sat bolt upright on his deathbed and said, what did you do? He wasn't even conscious. And he's in his straight mind and totally healed. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost quickens the word. What is the time there, Chris? I see you're looking at the clock. I've got to look at the clock here. Just about, isn't it? Four. Is it? This is your captain speaking. We're beginning our descent. We're going to land this plane. I want to tell you, if you boldly come to the throne of grace, God will respond. Where does boldness come from? Holy Ghost. There's a bloke called Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times he said no to Jesus. And then on the day of Pentecost, he got up and he preached for 10 minutes. If you don't believe me, go to the book of Acts and read the sermon. 10 minutes, there's 3,000 people converted. He spoke with a boldness and a power. And when that boldness comes, God releases his power. Amen. We went for a ride up to Queen Mary Falls a while ago. There was 7 of us on 6 motorcycles and Road Riders for Jesus. And we get up there. There was about another 20 bikers up there. And it was the end of the lockdown. And you weren't allowed, you still had a social distance and all that. And this guy, he comes across to my bike. He's looking at my bike. He said, I love the pipes. I love the handlebars. He was one of those blokes that just, you know, it was sort of like motorcycle pornography or something for him, I think. And he was into it, you know. And he's walking, he's dragging his leg. He's walking with a limp. And I said, what have you done to your leg? He dropped a Boulevard on his leg, a big motorcycle. Mucked his leg up. And then he sees on my vest, I've got the Road Riders for Jesus on the vest. He sees the front one. He sees the cross. He said, I'm not religious. I said, challenge accepted. I said, you're not stupid either, mate. You know there's something out there. And I know who he is and I talk to him and he does things. If I don't talk to him, nothing happens. I'm going to talk to him about your leg. So I put my hand on his shoulder to pray for him and suddenly this tough biker becomes a complete pussy. He's like, don't touch me. The police have been up here making sure we're social distancing. I don't want to get a fine. I said, shut up, mate. I work for someone more important than Queensland Police. In the name of Jesus. Well, he stood here like this. You know, you ever seen a possum in the headlights? Come on. He was stunned before the car hit him. He didn't know what to do. I said, kick your leg around, man. He started kicking his leg around and he used 2 words, I'll abbreviate it, BS. What did you do? Now, BS, if you live in the country, we know what it is. If you live in the city, it's called bureaucratic stuff. It's basically the same sort of gear. But he screams out, BS, what have you done? He was completely healed. He starts walking normally. You know, he doesn't know what to do with himself. I try to lead him to Jesus. He freaks out. And then he says, I can't believe it doesn't hurt. And I want to tell you, if you would man up in the Holy Ghost, God would move. Amen. I want to talk today to all of you about embracing not just the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is not just a buzz and a tingle. He is the enabler of great works. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll become my witnesses. But I want to talk to you too about manning up. Maybe you're in this place and you've never ever encountered God. You've never encountered God. I want to tell you, don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss yourself out of the joint without doing something about it. Sometimes it's time to man up, a woman up, and say yes to Jesus. Because there is somebody who loves you more than you love yourself. His name is Jesus. He understands more about you than you understand about yourself. His name is Jesus. He paid a price for you that you could not pay. You were morally bankrupt and he paid the lot. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place and you need to make a decision, I want to tell you, man up. It will change your life. He will come with power. He will come upon you. If you will dare to receive him, he has never let anyone down who has properly applied him to their lives. Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Amen. If that's you in this place today, I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand if you need to receive Jesus Christ today. Just lift your hand up because I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone over here? Thanks, love, at the back. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Another couple there. Is there anyone else? Anyone else here in the place that needs to receive Jesus? Amen. I'm just going to ask you guys to pray with me. In fact, I'd like everyone to pray. Maybe you didn't put your hand up. Maybe you didn't put your hand up, but would you pray? Would you accept him? Maybe you're not quite feeling so ready to be so bold as to put your hand up, but let me tell you, God will see your heart. He saw my heart on the side of a dirt road. God will see your heart. Would you pray with me right now? I want everyone to just pray this simple prayer, surrendering their life over to Jesus Christ. And this prayer is really simple. Just pray with your mouth, but more so, louder with your heart. Pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I know that I need you. I can't do life on my own. I can't fix my own mess. I require your help. I need your forgiveness. I need to be empowered by you. Come into my life. Show me what a real relationship is. Come right now. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, just lift your hand up right now. Okay, there's another one. There's two. I'm just wanting to open this altar up so that people can come for prayer. If you've prayed that, I want you to come first. If you're able to do that, just come right now. We've got a prayer team that prays for people here. We're going to pray for healing this morning. Amen. Who's the person in the place you got trouble with your right knee? Who's that? Is there someone in here you got trouble with your right knee? Who is that person? Who is it? There's three of you, is it? You got pain in your knee right now? If you got pain in your knee right now, stand up. If the pain's there right now, stand up. There's one over here, pain right now.
Just while Steve's ministering, we don't want to break the spirit, but we do want to support the work of this man of God. What a wonderful testimony. Real Aussie guy, real just straight down the line, no BS, bureaucratic stuff. Let's pass the collection round as Steve continues to minister the word of God. Bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen. So you got pain in your knee right now? I want two people to just come and lay hands on this lady's knee. Two people. Two believers, because the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll be recovered. So in the name of Jesus, we just release that pain right now. Healing come. Healing come. Healing come. There's pain. There's someone got an issue with that shoulder up over here. Who's that person? Right shoulder. Back of the right shoulder. Is that you? Is that painful right now? Just come forwards.